Brother Rick, what's happening?
It's going on like chicken bone, going on like neck bone.
It's going on like the electricity in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's cold out here in Alabama.
Oh, I believe it. Deep too, probably.
Yeah. Well, look, let's start off with when you came in the world. I mean, you remember being in the first grade?
Yeah, I remember the first grade.
So you did go to school.
Yes, I did. I had Sister Mary Adolf Hitler as my first nun.
Yeah. Did you ride
She beat me
bus?
Up with roars. She beat me up with roars.
Were you living in the country or were you a city boy?
I was a city boy. I went to St. Michael's School in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Yeah. So.
And the nuns used to be, they were like SS soldiers. They beat me.
Yeah. You mean it was yep. like a Catholic school or some kind of like that?
Yeah, Catholic school with nuns with jackboots and roars, brass roars that beat me over my hands because I couldn't keep cowering in the line. I kept cowering outside of the line, so they... Yeah, like I said, my one nun, her name was Sister Mary Adolf Hitler, and she was a real bitch, man.
Yeah. Hey, you've been coloring outside the lines ever since, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's my whole world is about coloring outside the lines, going outside the normal, and being different, you know, because that's what nuns did to me.
Yeah,
but
dadgum nuns.
You know what they say about nuns? They ain't got none and they ain't never going to have none. That's why they're nuns. But anyway, so.
Did you get into any drama, like in the plays or theater and stuff when you was a kid?
Yeah, I threw temper tantrum on the floor and that was, no, the drama was like, there was no drama. That was my life every day was drama. I lived a pretty crazy life.
Well, you had
I took up music lessons when I was a child, clarinet lessons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and my aunt had given me an old clarinet from her high school when she took clarinet lessons in Pennsylvania. So I took this thing home and took it to the old, some old music store, and they put pads on and fixed it up for me, and I took clarinet lessons with the lady that took...
In the band or anything?
No, I wasn't in a band, but I took clarinet lessons for like 3.5 years until I couldn't handle it no more. Because the lady was mean to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have a clarinet now or any kind of instrument?
No, I sold my last clarinet, but... Yeah, I used to rip the pads off the bottom of the clarinet because the lady would rip the clarinet out of my mouth and show me how to play the music, and then... You get a red lipstick all over my clarinet, and my mouth was all tore up from where he pulled the clarinet away. And I told my folks I can't handle it. So I kept taking the lessons, and finally I got smart. I ripped the pads off, and my folks got tired of taking the clarinet back and forth to the store to get it fixed. So they just said, you know, forget these clarinets or the clarinet lessons are too much. You know, I was like, I was learning the clarinet, but this lady was brutal to me. So I was like, and she had red lipstick. And every time she stuck her lips on my clarinet, she got my reed tasted like like lipstick. So I was like, ooh, this stuff tastes nasty. So I was like, but I'm musically inclined. I can play like, I can pick up a clarinet. And I could play ocarina and, you know, maybe a penny whistle to, like, because my mom snuck up on me once. I was playing to a radio, music on a radio. And she scared the bejesus out of me. I damn near jumped out of my skin. And she says, that was good. I said, nah, I'm not good, man. I'm not good. But she goes, no, you really were good. You played pretty good. I was listening to jazz. And I was going on that whistle. I was really playing. I was like, man, I still got it, you know, like, you know, but it was like improvisational. So,
hey,
you know, I even surprised myself. What's that?
You got a bunch of sisters and brothers?
Yeah, I got 4 sisters and 1 brother.
You wouldn't happen to be the baby, would you?
No, I was the firstborn. I'm the oldest in the family. I got four sisters, Mary Ellen, Bridget, and Jennifer, and one brother by the name of Michael.
Were y'all poor, or was y'all rich?
We were like, you know, we grew up on Atlantic City. My dad had three jobs, and he was always working all the time, and my mom took care of us, and we grew up on a street in called Mansion Avenue in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
We lived there from like 1960 to 1968, and then we moved to a place called Montpelier Avenue in Atlantic City, and I lived there all the way to 1997, and I moved. I was the last person there living with my folks, and then they moved to Florida, and I moved out.
Was there much music around when you were coming up?
Oh, yeah. My mom used to play piano and stuff, and I always had a stereo all the time, and I was always into music, and me and my friends, we had some money, and we got some bands, and we used to throw punk shows at different places, venues in Atlantic City. Back in the early 80s, we all parted ways, and, you know, that was that, you know, how everybody throws like a show, a music show, sort of like.
How did you get to see James Brown? He wasn't at the punk show. How did you run into James Brown? You say you went to a James Brown show before.
Oh, yeah, I went to James Brown. I saw James Brown for free twice. I got tickets. My sister got me tickets because she worked at the Taj Mahal. And she got me tickets for free to see James Brown. I saw him twice. Best show I ever saw in my whole life. My buddy even smuggled in the lemon gin in his pants, and nobody was supposed to be bringing in any bottles, but you could see he got a bottle of lemon gin. We were in there watching James Brown, and I was like, man, I smell some good weed. And then I was like, I turned around, and it was this guy behind us smoking. And I said to my buddy, I said, and the guy that I looked at, he goes, man, he goes, don't worry. He goes, the next one, I light up, I'll pass it to you. I was like, oh, man, there it is. I was so happy. In my seat, I was like, all right, man, this is great, man. You know, I got a lemon gin, James Brown, and some reefer now. I said, what more could I want? Man, I was on top of the world, man. Yeah, and he did every song, too, man. He was moving and grooving. And, oh, my God. That was the best concert I ever saw in my life. Oh, man, I tell you, he's incredible. He was incredible. And then he passed away a couple years later. Yeah, he's great. He's one of the greats, man. I was very lucky to see him. I saw Chuck Berry, too, in Atlantic City for $6.48. And he even drove to Atlantic City by himself. He didn't have no fancy bus.
Well, Dennis, how did you get into the blues?
By turning on Periscope one day. Well, I knew about it already, but I wasn't into it. Like, I was into, like, listening to B.B. King and maybe Leon Redbone and Leon Russell and a few other people, but... like one day I heard about this lady that was driving up the road the wrong way and she would periscope. I said, what is a periscope? You know, and they said something about a smartphone. And I just got my new smartphone that had a camera and I could use apps and stuff. And I was like, let me see what this periscope is. This girl periscope. I said, what is this? There's some sort of thing you can see other people and talk to other people. I said, let me check this out. So I did. And the first person I found was you on there. And I was like, what is this thing? What is this? I was like, oh, man, you can watch shows and stuff. I said, this is better than TV. So the first thing I saw was, like, this guy with the supermarket, the grocery store, that guy Ash. He has a show where he has somewhere in North Carolina, near Duke University. He's got this store and all these people come in there and buy beer and snacks and all sorts of different things. But then the same day I was like, let me check this out. They have music and all sorts of different But I don't go to everything on Periscope. I just stay in music all the time. And I found you that day. I was like, oh, let me check this shit out here. I said, this is pretty cool. And then that's when I discovered you. And ever since then, this has been about, I don't know, I checked you out like about a year and a half ago. So that's about how long I've been watching you for. Every single night, except for a couple of nights that I was either sick or I just didn't feel like going on and watching it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Shit like that happens, so. But, yeah, man, so. What else you want to ask me?
You've been making friends in the blues room, huh?
Oh, yeah, plenty of people in the blues room. They're all great people there. That's one of the main reasons why I go in to, like, see how many people I can help you to get to come on and share the music with. And, you know, it's all about promoting you and getting you up there and, you know, try hard as heck to get you recognized in the music business. I wish there was more I could do. Maybe one day we could get you that Grammy. There is a hope. There's a guy here in Margate where I live. He wrote this movie called 500 Summer Nights or something. Well, he was just nominated for a Grammy for another movie he did. An Oscar called The Stuntman, or what was it? They got this movie, the Stunt Actor or something, The Stuntman, came out recently, and they did the movie, but he's up for an Oscar. This guy in this in our area, so anything's possible nowadays. But I do believe that one day you might just get that Grammy, because weird things have been known. Weirder things happen, you know. Wouldn't that be great? I would love to see you up on the stage there getting that Grammy, man. I would be so happy.
Me too.
I would be shitting kittens, man. I'd be like, I gotta go to a bar and drink now. And I'd be like, and look, don't be flagging me either, man. Cause whenever I go to a bar, they always flag me because I drink like $95 in martinis, and they tell me, oh,
yeah, well, them songs you were writing, but you was on a roll there for a while, writing songs and stuff.
Yep, it was about Atlantic City. Getting weed in Atlantic City. I have the song right here in front of me. And I sing it to the tune of Gilligan's Island. And I sang it on a radio station this morning, and it was pretty funny. They liked it. They said, oh, that's pretty good. You're pretty good. So that was a trip doing that.
Hey, who sang it on the radio?
Who sang what?
Did they sing your song, you say it on the radio?
No, I sang it. I called up and sang it when I woke up this morning.
Oh, hell, you did it.
My friend has a radio show called the King Arthur Radio Show on WIBG Radio every Saturday morning from 6 until 12 on WIBG in New Jersey. You can get it on TuneIn. It's called the King Arthur Show. And he talks about other stuff that other radio shows don't let you talk about. And he won't cut you off. He gives you a chance to talk and ask questions. And it's really interesting. And he talks all about Atlantic City and all the crazy stuff that goes on in our town and how they're taxing us for all this crazy stuff. But, yeah, anyway, so I did the song. I got it right here. Why, you want to hear it? Hold on a second. Bird, get my song from your mother. It's on the floor. That's usually where my songs end up, on the floor. It's so off the table here. But it's about Atlantic City, and I sing it to the tune of Gilligan's Island. We're getting legal weed. Phil Murphy is supposed to be. By the end of this year, we're supposed to be getting legal weed. So,
wow.
So we got a new governor. Chris Christie is out of here. We got a new governor, and he's supposed to bring the sanctuary cities here. And so I wrote a song about him. So it's sung to the tune of Gilligan's Island. This is how I wrote. This is how it goes.
All
right. Let me just get ready here. Okay. Just sit right back. Wait. Do-do-do-do-do. Just sit right back and smoke a doob right here in old AC. Get in your car. It's not too far to get high by the sea. Chris Crispy's gone bye-bye, fat man. Laid up a big fat tea. And we're not talking about you, Chris. We're talking legal weed. We're talking legal weed. Bill Murphy is a gov right now as Chris eats everything he sees. And Mary Patsy's still not fat, but soon she'll also be. But soon she'll also be. Along with Chris Crispy. Along with Chris Crispy. The movie stars will drive their cars to smoke in New Jersey. And we'll all be very turned on. Here on Gilliam's Isle, da 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 da. We have a mayor, his name is called Frank Gilliam, and he's the new mayor, so I sung the tune to the tune of Gilligan's Island, and his name is Gilliam, so I figured that's what I would do.
That is so cool, man.
Well,
that
thank
is
you so,
so great.
Much.
Man, that is real that, slick, man. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
And he is the first Muslim mayor in Atlantic City that we ever had. Our last mayor was gay. Our last mayor was gay, and he was married to another man. Well, this man is our mayor is a Muslim. He's the first Muslim mayor that we ever had in Atlantic City, a black Muslim mayor. He's going to be a good man, I think.
I couldn't imagine why anybody would doubt him being a good man.
Everybody's a good man until you prove yourself wrong. But,
okay.
So, anyway, he's a, that was the name, that was the song that I did. But then, you know how crooked Atlantic City is with all the drugs and prostitutes and hookers and the casinos are all going out of business and the city is running down and,
what about the boardwalk? Isn't that in Atlantic City?
Yeah, that's right up. That's the same island. The boardwalk is on the same island. And that's it's the same island that I live on.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. I'm in another city, Ventnor. So this Gilliam's Island, I did that. But then I also did the seedier side of Atlantic City, sung to the tune of Gilliam's Island. And this is how that goes. Okay, now I have to, like, not mess it up, because I messed up the second one this morning over the radio, and it sounded like I got too overzealous. So I'm going to try not to mess this up once, so let me just make sure I say the right thing. Just say, right back and smoke some crack. Kill shoobies by the sea. Steal someone's car, stick up a bar. Drive over somebody. The hookers, they don't shave no more. Fake women with fake chests. If not for the women that are real, the fake ones are a mess. The fake ones are a mess. They're weathered like a stevedore. That's some hooker's name. If you take a look right up his skirt, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. So hurry up and spend your money like all the shoobies do. There's nothing else here in this town, so smoke a doobie-doo. So we have shoobies, and there are people that come to Atlantic City, they're tourists, and years ago they used to bring their lunches and shoe boxes to the beach, so that's how they got the name Shoobie. Shoobie Beach, Shoobie. And that's
so
why
cool.
I mentioned Shoobie.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. We enjoyed the song that you did, and Miss Biscuit here sang. We enjoyed that song too.
Oh yeah, I love that one, Jingle
yeah.
Bells.
It's been played quite a few times over on the other podcast.
Oh yeah, I noticed that. I was like really like that. That was a big present for me. I was really like enamored by what you guys had put up there. I was like, that is the best present a man could ever want in his life. I felt like I was in like a magical Disney movie or something, and I woke up Christmas morning and there was that podcast, and I couldn't believe it, and you even played on it. You and Miss Biscuit had together. I was like, oh my God, I felt like, you know, it was like, what an honor to have that if you're in the blues room, to have your own song that you wrote, rewrote to Jingle Bells, yep. You know, the tune, and like then the man that goes on and plays it actually does the song that you rewrote. I was like, man, that is an honor. You know, I want to thank you for that, because that made me feel like, you know, I felt like, well, I'm a part of the family now. And that's one of the best feelings I could have had this for Christmas this past year, December 17th, 2017, cool, man. What a great Christmas that was, man. I'll tell you.
Yeah,
you and Miss Biscuithead made my year, man, with that.
Well, happy to have, you know, work with you and stuff. Hey, check this out. Just in case some of the other VIPs get to listen to this podcast, is there anything you take a minute and just sell them, you know, tell them?
I would tell them, keep on coming into the blues room and tap it for Pat and make it do what it do. And what else? And the music is good. The music is good. Don't ever forget your blues roots. Because when you go into the Delta, it's deep and it's also cold. And when it's deep and it's cold, you better double check yourself, because you might get some catfish snapping if you get what I mean in the blues room. And when it's deep and it's cold, you know, you better start praying to the hoodoo gods, because you need the hoodoo and the voodoo in the blues room. To make it do what you do, Mr. Patton, and that's playing the blues. So you know what I said, Rick Patton will never die, he'll just segue away. So that's what I got to say to the blues room. Keep on tapping for Patton, and thank God for we got you, because it gives us a chance to let our hair down and dance around like partying people on Bill Street on a hot summer's day with a cold mule in our hands and a couple of voodoo sticks and umbrellas and singing when the saints go marching in, you know what I'm saying?
yeah.
But how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Kind of cold, but I'm doing fine down here.
I hear you. Tomorrow, my sister, my girlfriend's going to make chili, and we're going to have chicken wings, and we're going to kick back and watch the game, and just check out things. But,
I noticed you gave that thing you won last night, that button, to Ebum.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, man. I mean, you made his day. You know what I'm saying? Everybody was surprised that you did that.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, what better way to, like, spread peace with people across the world than to spread the blues via Mr. Rick Patton, you know? I did that.
Yeah.
I did that because you gave me the honor of listening to the blues, so I figured, we got to make it go as far as we can, so we go all the way to Dubai with it.
I
know you're going to have to pay some money for the shipping and the handling, but, hey, man, it's a good thing, a goodwill. We're the ambassadors. I'm the ambassador of goodwill, spreading goodwill and blues for the blues room, so I did that. I did that out of kindness of my heart to Abraham, and it made his day, and I made his. He made my day by telling me he was up dancing around and hollering and screaming. And I was like, that's so cool, man. You know?
Yeah.
And I extended that peace branch, an olive branch to him with all the hate going on in the world. And he really appreciated that. That made my day. When I laid my head down on my pillow last night, I felt a little bit safer in the world. But he seems like a pretty cool guy. And thanks to you, man. Tell you, you changed my life a whole bunch. You know, I'm driving my girlfriend crazy with all these songs I've been writing, but it really got my creative juices going. I'm really surprised that I can just make up songs as I just go along, and I I think I drive her crazy.
Yeah.
With all my craziness, I can't think
I'm
of
happy.
Shit, man.
I'm happy for you. Hey, look, it's been fun. Let's run. I know, everybody enjoy you taking time and talking. Look, I'll edit this and, we'll listen to it later on, you know what I mean?
Okay, Brother Rick, thank you for calling me. And, see, I told you I'd be able to get through this, and I did it. And, thank you for calling me and, telling me to give you a ring anytime you want to talk. Reach out to me, E.T. reached out and said, phone home, and I will phone home to the Blues Room anytime. Okay, we're in the Blues Room, Blues Van down by the river, I guess, tonight, huh?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You guess what I just saw on the TV screen just right now? I saw the street where Charles Gale, Chris Gayle plays at on Bill Street. They just showed it on the Fox Channel. And that's something, and I'm talking to you.
Yep, that is so cool.
That was weird. That was weird, man, I'll tell you. I think I was meant for the blues, Brother Rick. But I'm getting ready. I'm going to buy myself a harmonica in the key of C. Would that be the right key to buy a harmonica to practice on, practice the blues, the key of C?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yep. Huh? Okay, yep. Brother Rick. Okay.
Right.
Well, thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah. I'll see you later.
Good talking to you. It's good talking to you, Thomas Biscuithead. I said hello, would you please? And I hope your mom and dad are doing well. They're in my prayers. And, I'm glad to talk to you anytime, any day you want to call. Just let me know, and I'd be more than happy to talk to the people in the Blues Room, plus you. You make every one of my days perfect, man. So you take care. Have a nice night. I'll see you in the Blues Room tonight.
All right. Good night.
You be good now. Have a nice evening. Got blues, old man, or what? Got blues, brother?
You got blues. Yeah, you're
okay,
the right
you place. Take care. Make it do what it do.
All right, then.
Have a good evening. You take care of yourself. Bye-bye.